If you got that Bible, if you got a Bible like Brother Don's got, hold it up, Brother Don. There you go. If you got one like he's got, is that the red one? If you got the red one, it's page 10. All right. God is so awesome. Who wants to do me a favor? I want somebody to read the first seven verses. First seven verses. All right, go ahead. All right. Father, bless your word and bless this sort of study. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. We know, God, there's nobody like you. Absolutely no one like you. Help us, God, to go forward, not backwards. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Y'all say forward, not backwards. One more time, say forward, not backwards. I get a kick when I watch True Grit. True Grit's actually based on the book. If you see John Wayne's True Grit, it's close to the book. But if you see the latest one that was made, it is exactly like the book. But both of them have this part where they asked Rooster Cogburn, when he said he was backing away from the fire, they said, which direction were you going in when you're backing? He said, backwards. I always go backwards when I'm backing. Okay, well, some of us think we're going forward when we're going backwards. Ruh-roh. All right, here we go. This is part four of identity. Who are you? Now, tonight we're going to start getting into the spiritual part. Last couple of nights we've been been spiritual, but it's been a different way. Tonight, if you want to catch up, you can look on YouTube, or you can just get the Bible studies. They're back there. What's your real identity? What is an identity? Is an identity something you're born with? Is it changeable? Or is it never able to change? Let me just tell you, we're going to talk about your real identity is. Let me tell you something. Yes, you're born with your identity. All right? That's nature. But as you grow up, the people are you around help you form your identity. That's nurture. Nature, nurture. Nature, nurture. So some of us, you know, I have twin brothers and I have a sister. My mama had three normal children and one exceptional child. I didn't say who. Y'all looking kind of funny. See, every last one of them think they're exceptional. All the four children, one thinks they're the one, right? You think you're the one in your family. I'm the one. Yeah. Okay. But we're all different. I have twin brothers, and even though they're twins, they're different. They had different personalities. They're both a lot calmer than me. My mama said that if the twins had had my personality, she would have just run and hid in the woods somewhere and never come back out. Okay. She said, God knew what he was doing when he gave two calm ones to come after me. Amen. So here we go. Nature, you're born with part of what you would call an identity. But at the same time, nurture, what happens along the way nurtures your identity. So if you're around some people that are stern and judgmental, then your personality can be a stern, judgmental personality. If you're somebody around somebody that's cutting up, having a good time, then that nurture is going to hit whatever that nature is. Some of us naturally are stern. Some of us are naturally carefree. Some of us are naturally in between. So this is all relative. So I'll get into that later on. But what causes the struggle with identity? Most people experience confusion about who they really are because they lack a biblical understanding of what determines their identity. Your behavior is an outgrowth of your identity. Again, you can see how somebody behaves themselves. You know, usually, if you have two children, there's one that's pretty much conforms to what you say and is pretty calm about it. You got another one that kind of doesn't want to. You know, you may have to, if you're blessed, you got two that are just charming. You know, but usually you got one that's one way and one the other way. If you got three or four children, you got all grades of stuff going on in that situation. But the behavior is an outgrowth of your identity. Our personal identity is determined by what family we are born into. Again, you can put up there nature, nurture. Nature, we all have stuff within us. You know, every last one of us, there's stuff in us because of our family. You know, if you're destined to be bald, there's going to come a time where those bald genes are going to take over. Your hair is going to fall out. No matter what you do, it's going to fall out. If you're destined, some people have diseases passed on, and you'll see at certain times they're triggered. So there are certain things that's triggered in people, but at the same time, you can change it. You can change. You can't change your hair falling out, but you can buy a wig. You know, I had a guy one time, he was dyeing his hair. And I said, dude, why are you dyeing your hair? He said, well, it's gotten white on me. There's a preacher. I said, yeah, but you're dying. He says, yeah, faith without works is dead. He said, I want to feel young again. Amen. So here we go. Spiritually, we were born into Adam's family. Adam's family. All right. Oh, before I forget, if you haven't had a chance to sign up for the blood drive, we have a blood drive coming out here on Thursday here at the Fellowship Hall. The blood bank asked us, will we please put it on because they're running short of blood. So if you can, if there's a way possible, and if you know you can do it and you haven't had a chance to sign up, Jeannie will be back there tonight. Just go tap her on the shoulder, say, sign me up. And if you're right at the time that you're going to sign you up for, we'll try to get you in and out during that time. And now they've got all kinds of better ways that you can give blood faster. Now you can put an app on your phone. Instead of filling out those 25 pages and all that, you can actually put an app on your phone. You can put your card or zap it in however it all works, but you can get it and they can get you in and out faster. So that's good. And if you squeeze real hard, your blood will come out faster. All right. So here we go. No one in Adam's family has the capacity to live as God designed us to live. And here is where Satan has a heyday with religion. People take religion, and you work through religion through the flesh. Right? So there's a lot of religious people that they can die. Never knew Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Or they knew him as his personal Savior, but they were religious. And when they got to heaven, they found out, I was fighting stuff I shouldn't have been fighting. I was fighting over stuff I had no business fighting over because it didn't matter. I was too busy fighting. I wasn't fighting the fight. I was fighting God and everybody else because I was religious. So religion's bad. But still, Adam's family has the capacity to live. They know one there in Adam's family. And who's in Adam? Who was born in Adam's family? Everybody can raise your hand. There's nobody, absolutely nobody in here born outside of Adam's family, right? So now, a new spiritual life is made possible in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, you can say nature and nurture again. Nature, we're born in Adam's family, right? New spiritual life is made possible in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. To embrace Him as personal Lord and Savior is to inherit a new family and an identity in Christ. With this new identity, you begin to develop Christ-like character by choosing to rely on Him to deal with your daily problems. My Uncle Ralph has lived 2 or 3 years longer than anybody. When you start chemotherapy, they usually put a group of people that are suffering from the same kind of cancer, they put them together, and they have their chemo class. And as they go through their chemo class, you're in that class. Uncle Ralph said there was only 2 of them left. The other ones had already died. And this was a couple of years ago. And the person in the chemo class said, "Look, I'm tired of fighting. I just want to go home." He lasted a couple of months. He was gone. So Uncle Ralph was the last one. Technically, he should have been gone a long time ago. But he tells me, he said, "I haven't worried about it. God's got this. He's going to keep me around until it's time to go." And just recently, the throat cancer has come back. And so that's caused a problem for him. But again, the man's got faith. I'm telling you, that's what's kept him alive all this time. He's chose to let God handle the problem with the cancer. And so he's lived 2 or 3 years longer than anybody in his class. So now, "For as in Adam, how many die?" Read that scripture right there. 1 Corinthians 15:22, right there. "For as in Adam, how many die?" What does all mean? No exceptions. So in Christ, all, how many? All will be made alive. Now, in Christ, in Adam, we're all good as dead men. Matter of fact, we're walking dead men. We're zombies. We're walking dead men in Adam. But in Christ, we're made alive. Isn't that awesome? So here's the family of Adam. We're born into it. You can write down beside it, born into. You can also write nature. And that, again, we have the human, we have the Adamic nature. You don't have to teach a child to be bad. You have to teach a child to be good. You don't have to teach a child, now tell a lie. Come on now, you can do it. Tell me a lie. No, it's tell me the truth. You don't have to tell a child, now don't y'all get mad and start throwing, you know, DC was throwing temper tantrums. And he was throwing them so bad, he was a little bitty fella. And we were in Roses. Y'all remember Roses? And we were in Roses. DC was throwing a fit, and I said, "I'm tired of this." So Beverly said, "What you going to do?" I said, "Watch this." I fell on the floor beside him and started kicking and screaming. I embarrassed Beverly, and I definitely embarrassed DC. DC's kicking and screaming, and I'm kicking and screaming. DC goes. And he stands up and says, "What's wrong with you, Dad?" I said, "Nothing." Guess what? He didn't do it again. That got him. Yeah. My wife said, "Please don't do that again. Next time you can do it again, do it when I'm not with you, please." Okay. So the family of Adam, we're born into it. It's nature. It's our nature. And we have no choice. No choice. Now, every individual born into the family of Adam is identified with Adam, and they will exhibit the character of Adam. Here, let's go back to Genesis. All right? Adam represents the humanistic view of life. The one in Adam sees human beings in control of events and circumstances. You can mark the first 8-9 verses. You just put a big circle around it. Adam and Eve thought they were in control. God told them, didn't He tell them? He said, "Of everything else you can have freely, don't mess with that one tree." That's it. He said, "Everything else is yours. Have at it. Have a good time. Leave that one tree." He didn't stutter. Adam and Eve's ears weren't flapping. A train didn't go by. They heard God say, "Everything else is free game. Leave the tree alone." Now, but they saw themselves in control of events and circumstances. We all, y'all say all, we all had that problem. We had it bad before we knew Jesus. We still have it bad. Because when it says the old man died, it's amazing how my granddaddy said the old man was dead. It's amazing how when grandma made him mad, that old man resurrected. That word dead in the New Testament, it says the old man is rendered dead or he's dead. means literally, here's what it means. It means he's rendered inactive. That's it. Rendered inactive. So, if we feed the flesh, he resurrects. If we refuse to ask God for help in our situation, we again feed the flesh rises up. Matter of fact, Sunday, y'all need to bring all the people you can bring here, because I'm going to tell you how to defeat your biggest enemy. All right? Your biggest enemy. That's the name. I'm not even sure what to call it yet. I'm still working on it. But my biggest enemy, and you're going to be surprised. It's going to be awesome. Amen. Here we go. Sees human beings, the Adamic nature sees human beings in control of events and circumstances. That's the first 7-8 verses, all right? Now, it believes there's no absolute truth, everything is relative. So let me just go ahead and read this in a little different light. Now, the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, Satan, said to the woman, "Can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden?" Did God really say that? How many's heard stuff like that? It might not be the garden, but it was something you know. And he said, "Oh, was God really talking? Was he really talking to me? Did he mean it for me too?" Whatever this condition is. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden." One of the biggest mistakes you can make is getting an argument with Satan. He will whip you. It's like trying to debate Daniel Webster. You're not going to do it. So now, verse 4. Again, no absolute truth. Everything's relative. The serpent told the woman, "Oh, you're not going to die." God didn't mean that. Wow. Adamic nature kills. We have to, all of us have to fight it every day. There's not a person in here, there's not a person walking on this earth, even if they're a Muslim, if they're Hindu, whatever, they can say what they want to, but there's an Adamic, however you want to say it, nature that has to be dealt with. Even the Muslims believe in the first few books in the Old Testament, and so they believe that too. You have to fight the Adamic nature. So, there's no absolute truth. Everything is relative. So verse 5 says, "For God knows," here's the argument, "God knows in the day that you eat and your eyes will be open, you'll be like God." Wow! "You'll know the difference between good and evil and blessing and calamity." So here goes verse 6. Now, because of this, now, verse 5 believes to choose one's own moral restraints. Verse 5. Okay, the day you choose it, you're going to be like God. It's going to make you powerful. It's going to make you strong. It's going to satisfy your need. So, verse 6. "When the woman saw that the tree was good, suitable, and pleasant for food, and that it was delightful to look at, and a tree to be desired in order to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave some also to her husband." And he said, "Not me." No, God said, no. What did he say? In here. I can hear it now. It's the very first yes, dear, in the Bible. Yes, dear, in history. Here, eat, Adam. Yes, dear. So I don't know which was the worst. Eve taking it or Adam not trying to stop it, because he's the priest of the home. Here we go. So, what did I say? Okay, I thought. Yeah, Adam was, okay, I thought it said somebody else's name. We've been talking so many names today, Moses and all those names. All right, so here it is. The Adamic nature believes in choosing one's own moral strength and sees self-fulfillment as life's highest purpose. We're going to be like God. Really? The one who formed me from the dirt, the one who breathed the breath of life in me, I'm going to be like him? It's impossible. I will never be like him. So, here it is. Sees human beings in control of events and circumstances, believe there's no absolute truth, everything is relative, believes in choosing one's own moral restraints, and sees self-fulfillment as life's highest purpose. To be an Adam means that you are an heir to everything he was. Therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all man because all sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nobody in here that can walk around, you know, I gave blood today. Spiritual blood, no. There's only one, Jesus Christ. The rest of us, we have to get at the foot of the cross. All of us. There's none of us bigger than the other. We're all the same level at the foot of that cross. So there's the family of Adam, born into nature. The family of Christ, adopted. Remember talking about adoption a couple weeks ago? The difference is, you know, Bethany was adopted. The difference is, DC and Daniel, I didn't have a whole lot of choice in what I got with them. I didn't. I wasn't even sure when they were going to get here. I was even told my wife was not going to be able to have kids. They said, more than likely, you're not going to have kids. We're going to do an operation. And after this operation, we know you're not going to have kids. She come out crying, and I said, that ain't going to happen. We're going to have some kids. And then DC come around. And again, not so to have kids, then Daniel come around. But after that, she had to have those operations, and there was no other way, so we adopted Bethany. But either way about it, I wanted kids, but I weren't sure. I wasn't even sure I was going to have them. I didn't know if I was going to get a boy or girl. Didn't know how they were going to be. Didn't know what they were going to look like. Didn't know if they're going to be healthy. It's kind of like, okay, God, what you give me, I'll be satisfied with. That is born into. Bethany was adopted. I didn't go shopping for her. But it's amazing that my wife said, I'd love to have a little blue-eyed, blonde-haired little girl. I'd love to. And then the social services, after I went on court on her behalf for 3 years, the social service said, would you please take Bethany, who is calling me right now. She forgot it's Tuesday night. Hold on, y'all. Watch this. Did you forget it's Tuesday night?
Hey.
Did you forget it's Tuesday night?
I
want
to say
leave
to the church members, too.
Okay. Can you hear them?
You
oh, so you did this on purpose. So you did this on purpose?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. You're on the speaker. She said, thank you for the card y'all sent her. Oh, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I thought you hung up. Talk about perfect timing. Yes, you knew it was church time, so you decided to call. That's awesome, Bethany.
Yes, sir.
So your timing is getting better. What? Yeah, I was talking about you being adopted and hearing you call. Yeah. You're adopted on time. That's right. No. We paid for your cash. We didn't do it on time. I made payments on DC and Daniel. I didn't make payments on you. Okay. Well, look, you say hello to everybody and goodbye and call mama, all right?
All right, I love
y'all. All right, love you, girl. All right, bye. That was good. Okay, so now, adoption. With Bethany, I actually kept her. I fostered her. Fostered her first, then we adopted. I got a chance to even see what she was like. And she got a chance to actually get to know us before we ever even adopted her, because we were her foster parents. And so, a whole different ball game. DC and Daniel, it was potluck. Bethany, she was on the menu. Blonde hair, blue eyes, little girl. Just what Beverly had been asking for. It's amazing. So, but the doctor, I mean, but the court, the judge told me in the court that day, the judge told me when he beat that gavel down and said, she is yours. She is a Linton. He looked over at me and said, you can disown those boys. He said, but don't try it with Bethany. He said, she's adopted. You can never disown her. I can disown my blood. He said, you can disown your blood, but you can't disown the adopted. Guess what? The judge hit the gavel and said, David Linton, you're adopted in Jesus' name. He said, Patrick Baker, you're adopted in Jesus' name. Kitty? Because yeah, y'all are adopted in Jesus' family. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, he picked us. He went out and picked us. Praise God. Adam blew it. But Jesus took care of business. Amen. I'm glad he adopted me too, sister. And that's right. See? That's right. So God's got our back. Somebody say God's got your back. That's right. So now, so here we go. I just hit buttons and I don't know what I'm hitting. There you go. There you go. That's the bad part about electronics. And let me look at, but while I'm at it though, maybe the Lord was trying to show me something. So let me look here. Quick like. Let's see here. Very quick like. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. No, we don't. It said that we have fifth Thursday detention. I mean detention there, but we don't have a fifth Thursday, so we're all right. All right, that's what I was trying to find out. All right. So now. We're adopted. God has made it possible for every individual to have a new identity by moving us out of the family of Adam. Dun, dun, dun. A friend of mine, his name is Adams. His last name is Adams. And this is sad, but it's also, he said, the Lord knows how to make your spirits lifted up. They were all gathered around his mama's bed. And she was taking her last breath. And his son was in the army, and he was way overseas. And so he's trying to call his dad to see what's going on because the new grandma was getting close. And the ringtone was the Adams family. Dun, dun, dun. And so she took her last breath. They were all standing around praying. And when they got through praying, all of a sudden, real loud, it started going, dun, 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 dun. And the pastor said, well, God's got a sense of humor. Amen. Yeah. So here we go. The family of Christ. Here we go. We've been adopted into the family. And how were we adopted? By the cross. Sealed, signed, sealed, delivered. I just went through all that paperwork with Bethany. She was signed, sealed, delivered. The judge did something with her that he hadn't done with anybody ever. He took and brought her in her chambers and set her in his lap. And played and carried on with her. She was 4. She just turned 5. He played and carried on with her. And we all got around and took off. If we'd have had cell phones, we'd have been taking selfies everywhere. If it had been today, we'd been out there trying to find Pokemon sitting on his desk. And somebody sent me today, how tough Chuck Norris is. How'd it go? Chuck Norris is so tough, he caught Pokemon on a landline. They don't get it. Yeah. Linda started that Pokemon game. Pokemon. The Southern version is Pokemon. You know, it used to be Boogeyman, now it's Pokemon. And so she didn't feel like getting out of the car, so we were driving around the waterfront. She asked me to get out, so I got out with her phone. And this is for somebody who played Pokemon. And I'm walking around, and I see stuff going on, and I don't know what to do, and I'm trying to kill it, and I'm trying this. And I look, and there's about 10 people walking around right where I'm at. I walked into a bush. I ran over somebody. And Linda said she wished she had recorded it. She said cause it really made her night. All right. And I think if anybody's got a Pokemon game, see if our church is in it. That would be nice to know because people, that way they've actually got to come to our church to get points. Isn't that awesome? Okay, Pokemon points. Come to the church. Get your Pokemon points. Matter of fact, I saw a church sign. And once I find out that we can actually pick up Pokemon, here, then we're going to put this on the sign out front. Let's see here. Here goes the sign. The sign says, and this is at Davison Community Bible Church, find Pokemon and Jesus here Sunday at 11 o'clock. All right, let's get back. Y'all, we didn't get off track. I got off track. Bethany got me off track. I'll blame her. Here we go. Here's what happens when you get adopted into the family. Somebody said, you know, I had somebody one time said, how will I know when I'm saved? And they asked me for months, how will I know when I'm saved? And I said, you'll know. I don't have to tell you. You're going to know. You're going to feel lighter. There's going to be a whole different change in you. And they kept saying, well, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And they finally came to my house and got saved right there in the living room. And then they said, well, look, can you do me a favor? Instead of announcing it at church tonight, can you just let me go up to the altar? I said, that's fine. They said, I want to do it official. I said, you can do it official. And that's what you think. You got to get the altar. I said, well, you're just saved in the living room as you are at the altar. She said, I know, but I got to feel official. I said, okay, then get up here and get official. But after they accepted Jesus Christ, they started crying. They said, I understand what you mean now. I feel lighter than I've ever felt. I feel cleaner than I've ever felt. I feel something I've never felt before. They were born into the family of God. So everyone who, and this is three things that happen, four things. Watch this. It's all put together. Everyone who is in Christ experiences new birth. It says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. John 3:3. He also receives a new heart. They receive a new heart. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart. And give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:26, and becomes conformed to the character of Christ. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, so that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29. And let me just stop for the doctrine of predestination for just a minute. The Calvinistic doctrine of predestination says you're already predestined to go to heaven or hell no matter what you do. That is not the proper way. We are Arminian. Arminian says we have free choice. But the Bible says we have free choice. Meaning that God predestined all of us to go to heaven in the way he predestined by putting Christ down on the cross. So everybody can be saved. Everybody. Charles Manson can be saved. Adolf Hitler can be saved. Saddam Hussein can be saved. Everybody that pleads the blood of Christ and accepts his sacrifice on the cross can be born again. So there you go. Now, so that's the predestination. God predestined for all of us to be saved by giving Jesus on the cross. Now, here's the difference. Before, the Adamic nature saw humans being in control of events and circumstances. But now that we're born again, we see that God is in control of events and circumstances. The Lord works out everything for his own ends. Even the wicked for a day of disaster. Proverbs 16:4. I can't tell you how many times in the last 3 or 4 months I will go to my father-in-law's house, especially since they've been sick. I'll go to my father-in-law's house, and it's not the same time. I'll go sometimes early in the morning, sometimes it's late at night, sometimes in the afternoon. And as I go, he won't call me and tell me he needs help. He's 86 years old. He won't tell me he needs help. He just had his belly cut open, and he wanted to go the next day and climb under the house to fix a leak with his belly being cut open. I came around just as he was getting ready to crawl into the house. I did it. I mean, I crawled into the house. A couple of days later, he was getting ready to do something else. I came up just as he was getting ready to do it. About 6 or 7 times, as he's getting ready to do something, I come up. And I told him, I said, don't you see that God's trying to help you? Will you quit being so hard-headed and call me? Because every time he starts to do it, here I come. You know, like today with Sister Dorothy, just as she was getting dismissed, I came right up. God's timing. God's got everything under control. That's not David Linton. David Linton didn't know. God did, though. God's got a timing. He's in control of events and circumstances. Number two, the Adamic nature believes there is no absolute truth and everything is relative. That's like watching the Democratic Convention. There's no absolute truth. They're talking. They've got sugar running out their mouth. You know, it's just, I watched it last night, and I'm not kidding. I got sick of my stomach watching some of the mess they were saying. Now, but the Christian, the person that's been born into the family of Christ, is set free by the truth. To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:31-32. Adamic nature believes in choosing one's own moral restraints, but Christ's nature says that the one in Christ knows the moral absolutes that establish godly behavior. They have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Psalm 119:4. The Adamic nature sees self-fulfillment as life's highest purpose. But to be in Christ, we see fulfilling the will of God as life's highest purpose. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The world tries to tell us in order to be successful, we got to have a certain amount of money. We got to have a certain kind of car. We got to have a certain kind of house. We got to rub elbows with a certain kind of people. That's the world's success. You know what God's success is? Doing his will. Even some of the people in the church make you think, well, if you haven't got 100 people saved in the last year, then you're not a success. Maybe God only called you to witness and see one person saved. And if you did that, then you've done your job. You're a success. The same way, if God called somebody else to see 100 souls saved and he lollygagged around and saw 2 saved, and so I got one more than you did, because who much is given, much is expected. That's the talents, the 5, or the 1, the 5, and the 10. Now, the same way, remember, God does not judge success like we judge success. There's no way. Because if we did, then there'd be a problem. God judges success by you being the best you can be with what you got to work with. That's how you're a success. But if you don't, you're always looking over the fence. Y'all remember that guy on Tool Time? The guy always looking over the fence. Of course, he weren't looking over the fence to see what Tim was doing. He wanted to be like Tim because he was his own person. But still, some of us were always looking over the fence. We got to be like our next door neighbor. No, we don't. Not at all. To be in Christ means that you are an heir to everything he is. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. One old farmer told me one time, said, I'm a heir and I'm a joint heir. He says, we're heirs and joint heirs in Christ. That's okay. He also said he believed the Bible from kibber to kibber. He even believed that the table of contents were inspired. Hey. So now, any questions? Does this stuff make sense? One thing you can take away from this, think about how you're going through the day. And when things are starting to happen in front of you, or things are starting to happen around you, or things are starting happening and you're in it, See how you're handling it. If you're in the top slot handling things, then the old Adamic nature is coming out. But if you're in that bottom slot, you see, we get mad at God and say, why didn't you work it out for me, God? Why didn't you do something, God? And he says, well, I would have, but you wouldn't let me. That's what Jesus said. He said, he was crying over Jerusalem. He said, I would have loved to have helped you, but you wouldn't let me. If you go by that Adamic nature, you can blame God all you want. You got nothing to do with it. He's waiting for you to come down here and get in this family portrait. This family portrait, not this one up here. This could have been a sermon. Matter of fact, it was a Bible study sermon tonight. Amen. So if there's no more questions, everybody's got everything going on, then we're gonna look. And remember, Sunday. Please bring somebody with you. Make it a point. Try to make it a point to bring somebody with you every Sunday. But do you know if everybody in this church brings one person with them, the church automatically doubles. And if everybody in the church sees one saved, can you imagine how many souls collectively that is? Wow. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for the natures that you've given us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that although we were born into sin, the family of Adam, we've been adopted into the family of Christ. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, God, that you're calling the shots, that you're doing everything according to your word. I know, God, that you're in charge of events. And, Lord, you're working when we don't even see you working. We can trust that you're still there. And I ask you, Lord, to minister in the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen, amen, amen. Y'all are dismissed.